To Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Great to have you here with us for our service today. Great to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, our Lord Jesus tells us in our gospel reading this morning that we should strive to enter by the narrow door. So we'll talk more about what he means and what he's teaching when he speaks of salvation that way this morning. Want to welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today. Thanks for tuning into our service, and pray that you're blessed as well as the Lord gives us his gifts, both in word and sacrament today. If you're gathered here with us, we're glad you're here, and we invite you to turn over to hymn 915 in your hymnal. That's our hymn of invocation for today. We will sing hymn 915, and on the last verse of that hymn, we invite the congregation to stand on as we sing the final verse. So let's join together in singing our opening hymn, hymn 915, Today Your Mercy Calls Us. Let's sing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit this morning from Psalm 117 and 96 and Psalm 115 responsively. Splendor and majesty are before him. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all nations. Exalt him, all peoples.
For great is his steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Splendor and majesty are before him. We will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. We sing the Pax Domini. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Lord, you have called us to enter your kingdom through the narrow door. Guide us by your word and spirit, and lead us now and always into the feast of your Son, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from Isaiah chapter 66, and we hear from the prophet what God is going to do at that time and has done now in our time with his people Israel. Beginning in the 18th verse. For I know their works and their thoughts, and the time is coming to gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and shall see my glory, and I will set a sign among them. And from them I will send survivors to the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud, who draw the bow, to Tubal and Havam, to the coasts afar off, that have not heard my fame or seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the nations, and they shall bring all your brothers from all the nations as an offering to the Lord, on horses and in chariots and in litters and on mules and on dromedaries, to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says the Lord. Just as the Israelites bring their grain offering in a clean vessel to the house of the Lord. And some of them also I will take for priests and Levites, says the Lord. For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon, and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
And thanks be to God.
Invite the children up now for our children's sermon. Hi, guys.
Hi.
How are you? Good. Happy? Puppy. Guess what? Something cool to share with you guys. I want you to imagine something for me real quick. Can you do that? Use your imagination for just a minute. Okay. Imagine that your lips, everybody show me your lips. Yeah, you got them. You got lips. All right. Imagine your lips had a superpower. And the superpower was that anything that touched your lips immediately turned in to chocolate. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that be cool? White chocolate. Okay, that'll work too. Yeah, we can include that. Black chocolate. Oh, my goodness. Yes. Puppies. Puppy-shaped chocolates. Okay, so imagine, wouldn't that be crazy? And when you sat down to dinner at night and your mom or your dad told you, you better eat your vegetables, you said, no problem. Because you knew as soon as it touched your lips, what was going to happen? And it turned into chocolate. So you'd say, this is delicious. Hey, by the way, tonight when you're sitting at dinner or tomorrow night and you have vegetables on your plate, you can just play that little game in your mind and pretend like it's chocolate, right? And just eat it. Yeah? If, and we know that's just pretend, but it tells us a little something about something that God's doing. See, God has this amazing ability, too, that whatever he touches, it turns to whatever he wants it to be, right? And God has come to us this morning, just like we heard about in our Old Testament reading, that he had a plan to do something to Israel, to change Israel and to use Israel for an amazing work on earth. Do you know what that was?
Puppy.
No, not puppy. To save everybody from sin and death. He was going to use Israel to save everybody from sin and death. And so when God touches something, okay, he can make it into anything he wants. And you know what he's doing today, even right now while we're in church? He's touching you, and he's touching me, and he's touching everybody in here with his word, right? And he's changing all of us every time he touches us, all right? So I want you to remember when you're eating your vegetables at dinner, which I know you all do, right? You guys all eat all your vegetables, right? Yeah, when they touch your lips, remember that you could pretend like they're chocolate. But also, or like cotton candy, that's cool. And also that when God touches us through his word and his scriptures, that it changes us and makes us holy and good for his use. Would you fold your hands with me and bow your heads and close your eyes? We'll pray. You guys repeat after me, okay? Lord Jesus, we thank you for touching us with your word of forgiveness. Keep us safe and go with us everywhere we go. And remind us of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats now. Thank you.
Good job, all of you. Good job, man.
Great job.
Good job up there.
If you're interested where the lips chocolate thing comes from, it comes from a book called The Chocolate Touch. It's an old book from 1952. If you're interested to look that up, it's a children's book. Our epistle lesson now for this Sunday comes from the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Beginning in the 4th verse. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have earthly fathers who disciplined us and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them. But he disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather healed. Strive for peace with everyone and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled, that no one is sexually immoral or unholy like Esau, who sold his birthright for a single meal. For you know that afterward, when he desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no chance to repent, though he sought it with tears. For you have not come to what may be touched, a blazing fire and darkness and gloom and tempest and the sound of a trumpet with a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken of them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even a beast touches the mountain, it shall be stoned. Indeed, so terrified was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. But you have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We invite the congregation to stand now if you're able as we sing our Alleluia verse and hear the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, Lord.
Jesus went on his way through towns and villages, teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, will those who are saved be few? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, open to us, then he will answer you, I do not know where you come from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of evil. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves cast out. And people will come from east and west, from north and south, and recline at table in the kingdom of God. And behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
We invite the congregation to join us in confessing our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our next hymn? It's hymn 508, The Day is Surely Drawing Near. We'll sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I am struck by the way that that last hymn is such a sermon, right? Sing that hymn and get a sermon and then get another sermon. It's awesome, right? That the Lord truly does love us and forgives our sins and takes care of us in our earthly lives. The door is not wide. The door is narrow. And this is a Sunday when you can start to sense the end of the church year coming, when the readings sort of shift a bit, right? Yeah. By the end of the church year, before the season of Advent begins, we'll be hearing lots of these sort of end times readings that don't always feel like they're just flowers and bouquets and good feelings, but they're a little more serious. This morning's reading had some of that in it. If you notice from the Gospel of Luke, it talked about weeping and gnashing of teeth. Not a very fun thing to talk about at all. But I want to take the opportunity to sort of make the point that I think Jesus is making in the text, and that is that contrary to popular opinion, sin is a really big problem. It is not just something that we get to, you know, dip our toe in when we feel like it and enjoy or bask in when it pleases us, but it's insidious. And it gets inside of us through our very nature, through our first parents, Adam and Eve. When Jesus starts talking about the narrow door, we kind of ask a question like, well, if sin is that bad and the door is narrow, how's this gonna go? Well, don't forget what Jesus tells us in John chapter 10, friends. He says there in the 9th verse, one of the great I am statements from John's gospel. He says, I am the door. He himself and no other. So he's encouraging us, he's reminding us this morning that we should strive, yes, but strive to enter through him, through his effort, not our own, through his accomplishments, not our own endeavors. Strive to enter through Christ, who, as he also says in John's gospel, is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him, obviously the door. In Greek, the word that's translated to strive in English is the Greek word that is agoniste. And agoniste is where we get our English word agonize. That's where it comes from. It's a transliteration of that Greek word. And what Jesus is talking about, you know, striving, or if you want to say agonizing, to enter through the narrow door isn't always a fun endeavor. Because like we said, sin is a bigger problem than we think it is. It's deeper in us than we believe. And it lurks inside us. And another thing about sin is that it cloaks itself within us so that even those of us who are suffering from a sinful nature can't even notice that it's there and that it's affecting us. That's why we need God's word so badly. It's why church is so important. It's why Bible study is worth getting up in the morning for. Because God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. And his word, yes, his word of the Bible, it shines in the darkness where sin likes to hide. Jesus told us in the 15th chapter of Matthew, he said, for out of the heart come all evil thoughts. Murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, and slander. And then Jesus says that these are what defile a person. The sin that lurks within our nature is so nasty and it breeds so quickly that there's only one way that God can deal with it. I remember Trish and the kids and I, as we lived all over this country for years and years and years, traveling the interstates and, you know, doing our thing, traveling and living in other places, it always makes me appreciate the San Luis Valley. And especially right now, right? The end of August, the first part of September, it's just gorgeous in the San Luis Valley. Best time to be here, I think. But you know what? Another really great thing about the valley is that we don't have to deal with some of these critters or these bugs that other people in other locations have to deal with, right? We have to deal, yes, with the occasional mosquito or maybe the horsefly when it's hot out. But you know what we don't have to deal with? Cockroaches. Those big, ugly, hissing cockroaches. I don't want to talk bad about anything God made, but those things are gross, right? And an amazing thing about cockroaches is they say they're one of the only bugs, I guess, that could survive a nuclear fallout. These things are hardy. And if you've got them in your house, which you can ask Trish and I to tell you our cockroach stories later, because we did end up with some in more than one of our homes that we lived in. If you have them in your house, it's really hard to get them out of there. You can try all the normal ways to remove insects from your home, and guess what? They'll probably just hiss at you. Right? There's only one way to get rid of cockroaches. Yeah, the exterminator, right? They have to be exterminated. And in that way, they kind of have something in common with sin. Because there's only one way to get rid of sin. Your effort, your try, my try, our best endeavor. They'll still be there. Crawling around, making trouble. There's only one way to get rid of them. God told us way, 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 way back in Genesis when he told Adam and Eve, eat of that tree and you'll surely die. There's only one way to deal with it. It's that bad that, guess what? Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says the wages of sin is death. They have to be exterminated. And count on this. God will exterminate. It's coming. God's house must be holy and cleansed and pure and clean. So where does that leave us? Those infected and entangled with sin in our nature. Because the Bible tells us, in case I don't think anybody here is thinking this, and hopefully nobody who's listening on the radio is thinking this, but if you are sitting there thinking, well, you know, I'm not that bad of a person, think again. God sees all things, and all things are naked and open to his sight. There's nothing hidden, friends. You might fool everybody around you, but you ain't going to fool God. He knows exactly what's going on. So, would we say extermination is our destiny? Well, without Jesus, the answer would be yes. That's why Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. This is a bigger deal than you're making it. Strive to go deeper into his mercy and into his grace and into his forgiveness in your life. He is the narrow door. Without him, I don't even want to talk about that actually. But know this, it's just a matter of time before the whole house is cleansed. And hear this also. We are not without Jesus. We are not. He's the one who's already died for you. He faced our extermination on his cross. And God so loved the world that he sent Jesus because Jesus would, through his death, conquer death and defeat it forever. Did you know that that's what happened? That is what happened in your baptism. God included you in the death of Jesus. So his death counted for your death. It's true. By death, God disentangles us from sin in our nature. He makes us his own temple, his house, his temple, his dwelling place. So we remain, and we aren't exterminated. But rather, we're cleansed, we're made holy, we're washed white as snow, as the scriptures say. And all this happens not by our own effort or our own schemes or our own commitments or our own decisions or anything that we do to try to earn it, but through the cross and resurrection of Jesus delivered to you and I in the water of holy baptism. Listen to Romans 6, verse 4 for me real quick. It says, we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. And whose death? Jesus' death. He goes on in verse 5, for if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. It was in your baptism that Jesus' death counted for yours. That's the extermination for those who believe. He didn't get around it. You don't get a free pass. I don't get a free pass. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus took it for us. He's the narrow door. And wide is the path that leads to destruction. There's another reason, I think, that he chooses to call it the narrow door. And did you notice the question that the person asks in verse 23 of the text when they walk up and they say, will those who are saved be few? I noticed something about that question, and that's that question is along the lines of our efforts, right? Because so often we believe, for some reason, that the more we know, the closer we'll be to God. Let me tell you this morning how false that is. It's not about us gaining knowledge. We can't get back into fellowship with God through intellectual assent, through knowing theology, through any good work. None of those things work. Because Jesus, when he hears that question, will those who are saved be few? His answer is to redirect. And if you notice in the text, the question's asked in the third person plural, and Jesus gives an answer not in the third person plural, but in the second person. He says, you strive to enter by the narrow door. And this morning, he's saying it to you and to me too. That he wants us to really pay attention to ourselves and what we indulge in and what we think that, you know, when no one's watching, I can. And he wants us to see how dangerous that sin is and how much it's disrupting and hurting the blessed life that he gave us. We're often led astray too, worrying, caught up in anxiety when we have a God that loves us and cares for us. The promise is to take care of us. He wants us to take a hard look in the mirror today when we hear these phrases like weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's a wake-up call moment to say, not, you know, will many who are saved be few, Lord? How does this work, Lord? How does this work, Lord? As soon as I know that, I'll be good, and then I'll understand, and I'll be close to God. No, that's not how it works. You strive to enter through the narrow door. Sin is like plutonium, and we need to know how dangerous it is. Today, a reminder. Your baptism started a new life for you. Not the old life. A new life. For me too. And baptism is a daily reality. Our baptism is always active. So we try to stay away from the language of like, yeah, I was baptized on such and such a day. And we try to use the language, I am baptized. We speak of it in the present tense because it's a daily reality of receiving the gifts that Jesus brings to us from his cross and resurrection. The gifts of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Every single day, all day long, we enter through the narrow door. We strive to enter through the narrow door of Jesus' gifts that he won for us at the cross. They're right here in front of us. The font and the table and the word. We strive deeper to understand, deeper to know, deeper to be involved in this beautiful thing called the forgiveness of sins and what it means for us. Every day, our baptism. Every day, repentance and forgiveness. It's a narrow door. Every day he brings that to us. Real quick, some people think about Christianity and they like the cross. Well, that happened a long time ago. What's next? There's nothing next. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who died your death for you, for me, yesterday, today, and forever. He's the one who hears our confession and forgives our sins every day. Because sin is going to be exterminated. And we're not going to do it by our attempts or our piety or our decisions, choices, or good works. Door's way too narrow for that. But by faith and the mercy of God, we've already passed through that extermination in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we strive to enter through the narrow door. And to do so, we hear the word of God and we let it actually work, right? We don't block it out. We don't stop up our ears. We repent. And we live. And this is all God's work by his grace and mercy. It's a big deal, sin in the world. Jesus said this earlier in the chapter. I think it's sort of the central verse of the chapter, actually. But he said this, repent, or you will all likewise perish. He's talking about the extermination. Repent, because his forgiveness is yours. Because his forgiveness is yours. What we see as small sins, friends, they are no small thing. And we do. We come to our Lord. And I encourage you this morning, as we receive the Lord's Supper, tell him. Let it go. His forgiveness is yours. He's already begun, right? Through his word and his sacrament, cleaning up your house and mine. And he's going to continue to bring us into the ages with him forever and ever, forgiven and holy and perfect by the blood of the Lamb. He will not leave us, and he will not forsake us, and he will continue to teach us and clean us up. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now come to the time in our service where our tithes and offerings are collected. As the gifts are collected this morning, we'll enjoy some instrumental music from our organist. We now come to our prayers of the church. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we come before you this morning, Lord, thankful for the many gifts. So thankful that you lived on this earth, that you died on your cross and you resurrected from the grave to give us life forever and ever. Lord, and that your death was for us and that you connect us to it in the waters of baptism. Lord, grant us repentant faith to strive to enter even more deeply into your blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation. And by the witness of your saints, gather many from the very corners of the world to enter into your kingdom. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, prosper your church, the preaching of the word, the work of all pastors, church workers, and congregation members. Guide and strengthen, Lord, all who teach and learn your word. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have called fathers and mothers to bring up their children in love and fear of you. Sanctify and sustain them through your word, that they would lovingly discipline their children and show forth your own divine care for all of your baptized. Lord, in your mercy. Eternal King, the kingdoms and nations of this world rise and fall while your church remains before you. Give your church a holy confidence in your gift of eternal life, in your forgiveness of sins, so that she would fear no worldly threat. Lord, keep us faithful, even as we see the world around us changing and things moving, and we know the time is short. Lord, hold on to us as you promise, that no one can snatch you, or no one can snatch us out of your hands. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty God, bless all those who care for the sick and attend to the dying. Lord, and bless all those who care for our children and for our community, like our police and firefighters, our emergency personnel, those who work in our hospitals and care facilities. Lord, increase our generous support of those in need. Lord, in your mercy. Oh Lord, be with the sick and those who suffer, those troubled in mind and heart, the grieving and their sorrow, the dying in their last days on earth. Especially we name before you this morning Rosemary Nickel, Hudson, Izzy Wieskamp, Connie Hauser, family and friends of Peyton Sanchez, Letha and Tom Hershey, Jairus Yetzi, Helen Almdale, Lauren Awe, Jeff Hotopolik, Frank and Audra Rendon, Greg Gonzalez, Larry Reinbarger, Rob and Ingrid Miller, Rupert Gallegos, Ella Gonzalez, Debbie Ford, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, in your mercy, merciful God, bring together all who come from the east and west and from the north and south to recline at your table this day to feast upon the body and blood of Jesus, the mediator of the New Testament, that the speaking of your word would strengthen and sustain them in one true faith. Grant them your abundant blessing in the kingdom of God. Lord, in your mercy, Lord God, you have drawn to yourself believers from all nations and sanctified them in holy baptism as priests and Levites in your church. Fortify their faith, embolden their witness, that they may be gathered into the new heavens and the new earth through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now come to the time in our service for our service of the Holy Sacrament. We're on page 10 in your bulletin, and we invite the congregation to please stand now if you're able.
Thank you for joining our service today at Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa, Colorado. We hope this worship service has been a blessing to you. If you would like to support our ministry, please visit our website by searching Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. On our website, click the link for Apple or Android devices to upload our app to your phone or tablet. Our app has many resources to help you. Thank you, and may the Lord bless you this week.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad.